How many of you have heard of this viral social media craze called FaceApp? It started off as a summer challenge, right, among celebrities who use this app to get glimpses into their future. And so what it does, if you haven't heard of it, is it basically ages a person's photo or selfie by adding extra pounds, wrinkles, and gray hairs. And some of you are like, Father, I don't need an app for that. I just already look in the mirror, I'm already there. But if you haven't seen this app, right, it allows you to age yourself like 30, 40, or 50 years from now. And so some of you know what I'm talking about. You may have tried it, got some amusement from it, posted it on social media, and now, by the way, PSA, public service announcement, Russia supposedly has all our information, okay? But beyond the laughs and the security concerns and a culture that's obsessed with self-image, I find great irony and a deeper message in this whole face app phenomenon. The irony is that many of us want to see what we look like when we get old, yet we don't want to think about the ultimate consequence of getting older, which ultimately leads to death, from passing of this life to the next, and ultimately coming face to face with our divine creator, savior, and also our judge. So Jesus gives us this parable, right? And the general message is, be prepared. He says, if the master of the household had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an unknown hour that you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. So how does this preparation take place? Jesus says, seek the inexhaustible treasure in heaven, which no thief nor moth can destroy. So what is this heavenly treasure? One of the results, I think, of seeing ourselves go through this digital aging on this app is that many people I heard said they look like their parents or their grandparents, right? And so it's a reminder, I think the deeper message is, it's a reminder that we aren't isolated individuals who have just come into being on our own. While we are not carbon copies of our predecessors, we carry very real traces of our parents written on our bodies. But ultimately, too, we carry very real traces of our Heavenly Father. We are made in His image. And so knowing that we didn't come into this world alone, that we are connected to those that came before us, that we belong to our Heavenly Father, this knowledge is the inexhaustible treasure that Jesus wants us to have. To recognize that we are made in the traces of the image of God, that we come from Him, that we are His beloved sons and daughters. This is the key. We are all made in His image of love. And so many times I think we forget this. We think less of ourselves and of others. We associate who we are with what we've done in the past. Oftentimes the darkest and the most sinful part of ourselves. And then we try grasping at everything in this world that will help us avoid thinking of this, ultimately wasting so much time when Jesus is saying, I love you, I forgive you, come back to me. So we turn to things that we think that will help us fill this void, seeking sinful affection from others, trying to amass wealth or power, having the good esteem from others, no matter what moral issues we have to compromise, just trying to be popular among our friends, wasting so much time trying to escape our reality, recognizing that the gift and the treasure of belonging to a Father who loves us and who is pleased to give us the kingdom. So he says, do not be afraid, sell your possessions and alms. And Jesus wasn't just saying about material possessions, but he was more like saying, let go of anything, any attachment that prevents me from following you, from following him. So sometimes the distractions are not even sinful of themselves. They could be like playing video games, watching certain sports on TV, spending time with friends, not sinful in and of themselves. But if it gets in the primary way of your relationship with God, such that it says, you know what? I'm not going to mass. I'm not spending time praying. I'm not going to volunteer or assist this person in need or take time to be with my loved ones, then what we're doing is we're investing in a treasure that eventually will fade, will eventually disappear. God is preparing us and asking us to prepare right now. Don't wait until tomorrow. We don't know when that time will come. And sometimes people will say, Father, you know what? It's okay. Like inadvertently inside their hearts, they may say, I'll just prepare on my deathbed. Like, let me live my life now and I'll repent. But oftentimes I found myself as a priest, I don't find many of those people. Because who's to say that after they developed a habit of being away from God, that at the end of their life, that they will even take time to think of him? But at the same time, I also think the opposite is true. If somebody is coming to Mass, coming to church, developing their relationship with God, adoring him, being charitable, being kind, being loving, then when that day comes that they will see God face to face, they will be able to recognize his voice. They will be able to know that it's him and not be afraid, because they know they're eventually going home to the Father who loves them. God comes and breaks in at unexpected moments in our life. And so I was just recently talking with my friend who has this story that went viral on Twitter. And he has had this many God coincidences happen in his life. And one of them recently was when he was struggling to call a parishioner back on his last day before he was leaving a parish. And he agonized over whether he should make the call or not, knowing that he was going to leave and he potentially could leave this problemsome, like, parishioner to the next pastor that was coming in, right? But he decided to dial the number anyway, and he ended up leaving this message. He said, "This is Father Goyo. I know you needed to talk, and I'm here for you. Give me a call back." He had no idea that his dyslexia had caused him to switch two numbers around, thereby not calling the parishioner that he intended, but someone all the way in the East Coast. And so a few minutes later, when the phone rang, Father Goyo was surprised to hear the voice on the other end of the line say, "I wanted to talk to a priest for a long time, but I was nervous. I was away from the church, and I asked God for a sign because I was really struggling, wanting God to reach out. How did you know to call?" He said, "Thank God for my dyslexia." You see, God enters our lives in unexpected ways. But the key is to always be prepared, because Father Goyo could have said, "I don't really want to call this parishioner. I'm already leaving." This guy who had received this message could have said, "Okay, wait, I'm just going to put this off. I'm not going to call him back." Yet he did. And look at what grace has flowed out. Because God uses the extraordinary circumstances of our life to break in unexpectedly. But the key is being prepared, always prepared to listen to his voice, so that he will not catch us off guard like a thief in the night when the time of our deaths come, or even at any time of our other time of our lives. However, if we hold on to the heavenly treasure of knowing that we belong to God, that we are his, and that we are truly loved, then the actions which flow from such knowledge will help us to prepare for our Master's return, so that when the time comes for us to see him face to face, we may hear the consoling and loving words of Jesus: "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom."